ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तं ह देवम् आत्मबुद्धिप्रकाशं मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये। We have been studying the 8th verse of Dakshinamurti Stotram. Vishvam Pashyati Karya Karanataya Swaswami Sambandhataha Sishya Acharyataya Tathaiva Pitru Putradi Atmana Bhedataha Swapne Jagrativa Yaha Eshaha Purushaha Maya Paribhramitaha Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Sri Dakshinamurtaye. He who is the Purusha veiled in Maya sees the world in terms of cause-effect, diversely related as possessor and possession, father and son, and as teacher and taught, both in the state of waking and dreaming. To him, the divine teacher, Sri Dakshinamurti, is this prostration. This is a most marvelous verse, or I would say one of the most marvelous. Here, the bare fact that this world is nothing but a world of relationships. We use this word, the world, jagat, samsara, so many times. And this is one of the best ways to look upon this world. What do I exactly mean by the world? World means difference. World means difference. Where there is a duality, there is bound to be a relationship. That difference, in other words, is called relationship. Small and big, superior, inferior, man and woman, good and evil, happiness and unhappiness. And when do we experience it? We experience every day three states, the waking state, dream state, as well as the dreamless or nidra state. In the nidra state, as we discussed earlier, there is no body, there is no mind, idea in the mind. Remember, body idea, mind idea are both ideas, vrittis in the mind. Therefore, it is a kind of advaita. And where there is only one, the question of difference doesn't arise. Therefore, the question of relationship does not arise at all. In fact, something very curious thing is there, which we must take note of it. If we do not see relationship, we will not even know who we are. Simple example, even though we are 24 hours practically practicing it, we do not take notice of it. Who are you? I am Ravi. Suppose we say, what do you mean by Ravi? So I am the son of so and so. So that means what? I am aware that there are two beings called my father and mother, and I am different from them. They are different from me. The moment that difference comes, immediately relationship comes. They are parents, they are friends, they are enemies, they are colleagues, or whatever it is. And then this relationship brings all sorts of troubles, superior, inferior, ultimately resulting into what we call judgmental values, sukha and dukkha, raga and dvesha. I like some, I dislike others. And every event in our life, as I had mentioned, is nothing but a thought in the mind. And every thought, there is a rising, there is a sustenance, and there is a dissolution. And all this take place in time. At some point it was not there, then it comes, it abides for some time, and then it disappears. So birth or death, growth, whatever it is, everything falls under time, space and causation. It is this mind. So two important points we have to remember. Where there is duality, there would be relationships. And where there are relationships, depending upon what type of relationship we cherish. And here also, there is an inner secret. A real secret is there. Supposing there is parents and child. It is a real relationship in the Vyavaharika world. But Maybe the parents love the child, but the child may not love the parents. What is the importance I am trying to point out? That both have relationships. The parents think, this is my child. The child thinks, these are my parents. The parents may be saying, this is our child and we love our child very much. But the child, for some reason, he may hate his parents. So just look at your Bhagavatam. What happened to this Kamsa? He imprisoned his old father until Krishna came and related. Did Ugrasena, the father of Kamsa, love Kamsa or not? Definitely he loved. Did Kamsa love his father? Absolutely no. So what is the point I am trying? This relationship is purely individual, depends upon our samskaras. So vyavaharika drishti, the relationship is vyavaharika satya. But the difference will exist in both the parties, a husband and a wife. What is the relationship? I am the husband, you are the wife. You are the husband, I am the wife. The wife perhaps loves the husband very much, but the husband may be plotting how to do away with her. So what I am trying to tell, that relationships bring individual reactions depending upon how they do it. But from the life of Sri Ramakrishna, I will just give an example. Hriday, Sri Ramakrishna's nephew, served him for more than 14 years so devotedly, protecting and looking after like a baby his uncle. But in the end, he himself has completely turned topsy-turvy and he hated his uncle. He wanted to control him to such an extent, Sri Ramakrishna wanted to jump into the Ganga and then commit suicide. What does it indicate? Now, question yourself. Did Hriday, was he pretending, or did he really hate his uncle who would not come under his thumb so that he could control him? The whole secret was that Hriday wanted to control Sri Ramakrishna. That's why many people in the West do not wish to be served, because they feel obligation that these people are serving, including their own children. And the moment we receive the service, we are under their thumb, and this is the truth also. If you depend upon the servant, you call him servant, he calls you his master, but we have to see who is the servant and who is the master when the actual work comes. So in the West, people are extremely independent. They do not wish to take anything, any service. That's why immediately they say, thank you very much 100 times to get rid of that obligation. Anyway, that is a aside point, but a great psychological truth. This whole world is a world of differences. World means differences. World means aneka, not eka. Brahman alone is eka and everything is aneka. And for that, we have a beautiful imagery. The waker in the waking state is one. But when he goes into dream state, he divides himself into how many? Two, many, many. Himself, he also will be there. He himself divides himself into three parts. A whole world, his own body, mind, the individual, and the Sakshi, who is witnessing the whole thing. How do we know? Because when that waker enters into the dream world, playing very real things like the waking state, and then when he wakes up, he remembers everything that has transpired. Memory, you must always remember, doesn't belong to the experienced, but always belongs to the witness. When you are absorbed in playing, you don't know what happens. But there is a witness and he says, oh, the wind is blowing, and then there is a thunder, there is an accident, and here play is going on. He is able to witness everything. But the player himself, his experience is limited only to that particular role, and that role is changing every time. Therefore, the memory of what happened in the past completely fades away from that man's person's mind. Then who remembers the whole sequence? I went to Chennai, then I stayed there, from there I went to Kanchipuram, and then I came here. It is the Sakshi that remembers. It is the Sakshi which remembers I am the waker, which remembers, who remembers I am the dreamer, who remembers I am the sleeper, and whatever had taken place during these three states of experience. So this is a very important point. Memory always belongs to the unchanging Sakshi, not to the changing experiencer. That is where the Buddhists, they go terribly wrong. Anyway, that is a side point. Now, this is, as I said, this is a most wonderful shloka. This eighth verse emphasizes that the entire world of duality and all the activities based on it are due to the delusion brought about by Maya, and that the Atman alone, who is the substratum at the back of all these, is the eternal reality. In this eighth verse, Shankaracharya reduces all the possible human experiences into four relational categories and expounds the phenomenal nature of the universe. What are the four? First of all, he says, Karya Karana, cause and effect. Second, he says, Swaswami Sambandhataha. One is a teacher, one is a student. One is the master, another is a servant. The third is Sishya and Acharya, teacher and the taught. The fourth is Pitru Putradi, everything. So these four, I am going to analyze it. And before that, I want us to remember. First point, reality is Ekam, Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupam. And as I mentioned, where there is only one, you cannot even say it is one. It is only from the dualistic point of view, we say Brahman is one without a second. Because the moment you say one, the moment you say light, what is the background idea that comes? There is a darkness. You say one, either two or many, immediately it comes, whether we realize it or not. Otherwise, how do we know it is one? Supposing in your room, there are two people and a phone call comes. Someone asks you, how many people are there besides you in the room? You say two. And one person takes leave and goes away. And another person or the same person phones you. How many people are there? You say one. How did you utter that word one? Because you are acutely aware we were three, then we were two, and there is only now me and this other person. Other than me, there is one. So, in that state, for example, in deep sleep, you don't say, I am having deep sleep. Only upon waking up, you recollect and say, I was. You can never say, I am. This is for clarity, that's all. Reality is Ekam and it is Nitya, forever, Shuddha, pure, because there is no second to make it impure. Buddha, ever conscious, because that is pure consciousness. Mukta, completely free. To be bound, there must be a second thing to bind you, and a reason why you are bound, and the instruments with which you have to be bound. So this is the nature of the Paramatma. That is, against that background of unchanging pure consciousness only, all dualistic experiences, and you can call them dualism, many things, changeful things, relationships, everything will get destroyed the moment you become one, which is happening every day. In your deep sleep state, all relationships disappear. Have you noticed it? I am the son of so-and-so. I am the student of so-and-so. I am rich, I am poor, so many years old. Everything will disappear. For the simple reason, there is no second excepting you. So, an important point I mentioned in my last class, all duality, A, modification of consciousness. Somehow we are under the delusion that whatever we see is real, very concrete. So how do you know? So I say, even Swami, my eyes may be deluded, my ears may be deluded, my smell may be deluding me, my taste may be deluding me, but when I bump my head against a concrete brick, then blood comes and everything happens, terrible pain is there. That is the proof that it is concrete reality. And the Advaitin gives the answer, my friend, in your dream, when somebody takes up a big brick and breaks it against your head, you will feel equal pain, and upon waking up, your head will not have any bump. Therefore, what does it mean? The concreteness is the guna of the skin, and it is as false as anything else. All duality is a modification of consciousness. I am happy, I am healthy, I am unhealthy, I have COVID. These are all modifications of consciousness. Answer one question. Supposing you are having COVID symptoms and you go into deep sleep, would you be worried about your COVID situation? Why? Because there is no body, and there is no body, there is no COVID, and there is not even the possibility of imagination in the mind, I might have COVID. And so, everything is a modification. This is an amazing truth that my parents are modification of consciousness, and my body is a modification of consciousness. And actually, modern science proves it to the hilt by the employment of psychosomatic effect. If I think this milk is poisoned, I am sure to get stomachache and purging, even if nothing is there. If you really believe in it, if you don't believe, it will not happen. So, that not believing is also modification of consciousness only. Even if it is, Sri Ramakrishna tells something very interesting. Supposing person is bitten by a snake and he says, the snake has not bitten me, it is not poison, I am not going to die. If he says strongly, then the poison will disappear. Don't blame me. This is what Sri Ramakrishna has said. And on the contrary, if somebody is given, has been given buttermilk, remember buttermilk because this is summer season here and very hot. Cold buttermilk is most welcome. Suppose somebody gives you buttermilk and you drink the buttermilk. Afterwards, somebody comes running and says that it is poisoned, and immediately there is a chance, if you believe in it, that immediately you will have a massive heart attack and then die also. What does it prove? It proves that the whole universe is nothing but a modification of consciousness. Then, the second point about duality. Duality is mithya. That means what? Any modification, any vikara is mithya, and that consciousness which doesn't undergo any modification, and that is called Brahman, that is the only reality. Where there is duality, as mentioned earlier, is bound to be relationships. Duality is nothing but relationships. Think over this amazing fact. I am the son, or I am the brother, I am office worker, I am a doctor, I am a lawyer, etc., etc. They create their inevitable results, effects upon us, because these are all relationships you are taking. When a patient meets a doctor, you know what is the relationship? However proud a fellow may be, he may be a gunda, he may be oppressing other people. The moment somebody tells there is a growth, a biopsy has to be done, and then the doctor becomes immediately Bhagavan Narayana, please save my life. Yes, in his eyes, that doctor and his words becomes a Shastra's words. Whatever he says, he will do it. This every relationship has its effect. And every relationship's effects can be divided into three. These points I have discussed in my last class. What are the three? Positive, negative, and neutral. I gave the example also. So, now in this light, let us analyze a bit before we go into the shloka itself. First, relationship between the waker, dreamer, and sleeper. There are three states. State of waking. What is it called? Jagradavastha. Then, there is state of dream. What is it called? Dream state. Then what is the third state? Nidra, Sushupti Avastha. When I am in the waking state, I call myself the waker. In Sanskrit or in Vedanta, it is called Vishwa. I am Vishwa. Though we don't use English word is waker. When I am the dream state, I call myself, according to Vedanta, Taijasa, dreamer. And when I am in the Nidra state, I am called Prajna. Now, what is the relationship between? It is like completely three different persons. And the waker says, I, as a dreamer, I behaved very badly. I got frightened. I was an unhappy fellow. Somebody came and slapped me. The waker is telling his relationship as a dreamer with himself. He is categorizing it as, I was a dreamer and I had a bad dream. I was very unhappy. Now I am happy because now I realize it was all an imagination. So this is the relationship between waker and dream. But there is another relationship. I will soon come into it. The dreamer and waker have another relationship with the nidra. the most marvelous experience. I did not know anything. I was so happy. It is a happy state. That's why every drunkard, every drug addict, if you ask that person, why are you taking drink? He says, my relationship as a sleeper is so happy state. And I want to escape this waking state. The only way I can escape is either by drinking or taking drugs. So, this is one. But there is another type of relationship. Who can have good dreams? Only when a waker lays the foundation through his activities like prayer and positive thoughts and then reading good books, thinking good thoughts. Only such a person, when he enters into the dream state, he will become a happy dreamer. So this is the relationship. What is the relationship? Cause and effect relationship. What is the cause? I led a beautiful waking state. And therefore, what is the effect? A beautiful dream state. And in my waking state, I have worked very hard and I made my body and mind get tired. And that relationship affects the deep sleep. When do you get to deep sleep? Only when your body is really tired and your mind is not worried. Even if you are completely tired, you cannot have good sleep, I mean nidra, sushupti, if your mind is agitated by any type of worries. So you see, cause and effect. So the deep sleep can be cause for the good waking and dream state. The waking state will be a cause for good dreams and good sushupti. And the good dream state will be very beautiful cause for both the deep sleep as well as the waking state. Not only that, there are higher things also. Supposing in my past classes I mentioned, there are four types of dreams. Very ordinary, irrelevant things is first state. Second state is remembrance of the past events in our past lives. Third event is seeing or having visions of gods and goddesses. Fourth event is foreseeing the events that can take place in the future. And many of us, I am sure, have at least one or two experiences of this fourth category. First category, all of us will have. Second category, all of us will have. Third category may not be all of us. But fourth category may be rare. But foretelling of the future events in the form of some dream is very real. Now, what I am trying to tell you, that this, supposing a person had a vision of Sri Ramakrishna, and many devotees had this vision. And then when they had this vision, their mind is filled with unspeakable, unimaginable joy. And then it might transform the whole life of that person. I will give you an example. There was a lady devotee and she came into contact with Holy Mother. She decided to take initiation and Mother also consented, fixed a date, my daughter come on the early morning of such and such a date with some flowers and fruits, I will initiate. And this lady's husband was not very spiritual, but cooperative with his wife. So he says, I will not take initiation, but I will take you to Holy Mother. And then previous night, they purchased for one person's initiation. And that night, Sri Ramakrishna appeared and said, Ray, you also take initiation from Mother. He thought, I was thinking about my wife's initiation from Mother, so I had this kind of imagination. So he did not take any notice of it, and next morning they both of them went to Holy Mother. This man was not a real devotee, but he was not a bad person. He had respect. He went to make pranams, and Holy Mother said, Baba, why don't you take initiation? The man replied, but Mother, I am not decided to take initiation. Mother said, what? Even after Sri Ramakrishna commanded you in your dream that you have not decided? No, no, you take it. Then again he objected, but I brought the materials only for one person. Mother said, that doesn't matter. Both of you can take initiation with that only. So he was initiated. His whole life was completely transformed. This particular dream has changed his life completely. What is the point we are telling? That the waking state, dream state and dreamless or deep sleep state, sushupti, have got cause and effect relationship even though we do not analyze, but we know how nightmares come. Children want to read very frightening stories just before going to bed, and that is the cause. What is the effect? Nightmarish dreams. Okay, so this is the relationship between the waker, dreamer and sleeper. And some people claim, by the way, that some group of spiritual teachers are there. You go to bed and then in your dream, we will take you to Himalayas, we will take you on pilgrimage. And many people claim their gurus came and took them around. We should not deny, because we should not be skeptical. If that has some effect upon them, if it can bring a change in their character from worldliness to spirituality, anything goes. It doesn't matter. Okay. What is the second type of relationship? Living and non-living. And living influence the non-living, and the non-living influence the living. I will just give you a small elaboration. Today, the whole of this scientific research is showing human beings have brought about pollution. This by the modern industry discharging poison into the sky and into the rivers, etc., environmental pollution, and as a result, the ice caps in the North Pole are melting into huge blocks. And if they this phenomena is continuing, and if it happens and those blocks come, all the cities near the seashore will be submerged. Such a fact has been recorded earlier. That is what we say, as soon as Sri Krishna left his body, the whole Dwaraka was submerged in the sea. Even now some people say some ruins of some walls, etc., they show. And all over India, all over the world, so many cities have been sunk because the rising level of the sea water, which is caused. What is the cause? This kind of melting. Huge blocks. Even if the sea level rises 1 foot, then it will wreak havoc upon entire population of the cities. They have to completely evacuate those places. We do not understand. Of course, we know aeroplanes, the motor cars, the motorcycles, anything that uses a machine, how much pollution they are emitting into the sky. Then we also know how many factories are built on the banks of the rivers, how much we are polluting, and we cannot even take bath, even though we call these great rivers so sacred. Funny thing comes to my mind, and I go to Belur Mutt, people ask me, and do you take bath in the Ganges? Yes, I say, I take bath twice. First I go and take bath in the Ganges. Then I come to the bathroom and take bath with the normal water. Why, Swami? Because the bath in the Ganga is to remove the impurities, spiritual impurities, and the bath in the bathroom is to remove the physical impurities from the Ganga. So much polluted, we can see, all of us have seen. So in how many ways we are cutting down forests, we are polluting the rivers, breaking the mountains, digging the Mother Earth. In unimaginable ways we are polluting. So what is this we are talking about? This is the human being's relationship with the living and the non-living. So there is what is called bhoo pollution, earth pollution, clay pollution, there is light pollution, there is noise pollution, and there are so many varieties of impure thoughts through all these social media, etc. So many types of pollutions we are doing it. But most important is there is a what is called very healthy relationship between the living and the non-living. Living means living creatures. Non-living means the mountains and the rivers and the earth and the air and all these things, akasha, etc. So it is said when the aeroplanes attacked the Twin Towers in New York, for a few days, American government had banned the flying of all the aeroplanes, and they could see how much of purity has come into the air. The pollution level had come down probably by 50%. And I have seen this recently when travel is banned because of the COVID. The birds' call has increased, and you can see the sky even so much there. I don't need to elaborate it, but we have a definite relationship between the living and the non-living. And if that relationship is disbalanced in any way, so we are going to suffer, the non-living is also going to get damaged. This is the second type of relationship. Third type of relationship between all the living beings. I do not need to describe. Every country practically is having conflict with the other countries. Within the country itself, all human beings, of all the people, human beings are the worst people having relationship. How many families can claim husband-wife relationship, parent-children relationship, teacher-taught relationship are running in a healthy manner? How do we know? Because more than 40% of the people are mentally sick, especially in the West, according to their own statistics, governmental statistics. Relationship between all the living beings, but the most important relationship is again subdivided. This is the fourth classification, and that is subdivided into three relationships. First of all, what is the relationship with God? You just say, what is this? I am a devotee of Ramakrishna. I am devotee of Holy Mother. What is my relationship with Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda, or your guru? It doesn't matter. What is the relationship? First type of relationship is pure selfish relationship. I go to Tirupati Venkateshwara with a rotten banana or half spoiled coconut, and I want 50-100 things. If I can list, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing, I want the other thing, etc. So what is this relationship? I am the beggar and you are the giver. I am the beggar and you are the data. So this is the relationship. Is that permitted? Within limits, yes. But if it goes beyond the limits, it's not limited. Find out, do you really want God, or do you want God to work at your beck and call, save you from all dangers, produce things for you, protect you from all dangers, and 24 hours your personal God, all because you pay a puny insurance of 10 times repeating his name in the morning, and whole life you expect him, and life after also, probably if you believe, you expect him. So that is the relationship between oneself and God. Question yourself, what is it? Do I love God? And am I ready to sacrifice for him? Like Mother Yashoda used to say, if I do not look after Krishna, then he will go to dogs. I have to look after him. So what is your relationship? And these relationships with oneself and God have been subdivided into five categories in the Vaishnava literature. You all know what I am talking about. Shanta Bhava, Dasya Bhava, Sakya Bhava, Vatsalya Bhava and Madhura Bhava. And this Vatsalya has two subdivisions. Looking upon God as one's own parent, mother or father. If it is Hindu religions, as mostly as mother or father. If it is Semitic religions like Christianity, the question of motherhood doesn't arise. Only Father. Father, forgive us our daily sins, give us our daily bread, etc., etc. Okay. Then, this highest is, that is God, this fourth one I have been mentioning. A devotee can look upon God as one's own parent and himself as a small baby, or as Ramakrishna puts it, as a kitten. Or a devotee can look upon God as, I am the parent, you are my child, like Kausalya, Yashoda, etc. This is two sub-varieties. Then Madhura Bhava. One is called Kanta Bhava, another is called Parakiya Bhava. Kanta Bhava means one's own married wife, how much a wife, a chaste wife, loves her husband. Rukmini, how she loves. Lakshmi, how she loves Narayana. When the Samudra Manthana, churning of the milk ocean takes place, so many people wanted Lakshmi. Means what? They want money. Lakshmi, incidentally, is not only money. In fact, she is not money. Lakshmi is happiness. You have money and you have severe headache, or you have got your stomach is gone. You can't even digest barley water. What will you do? That is 50% misery. The other 50% is, in your name, everybody is enjoying excepting you. So it is 50% other misery. I am not able to enjoy, I can't tolerate other people enjoying it. Money means happiness. Sri, Lakshmi. This is కాంతాభావ. పరకీయ భావ మీన్స్ ది మోస్ట్ ఇర్రెసిస్టబుల్ స్ట్రాంగెస్ట్ అట్రాక్షన్ దట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ బిట్వీన్ ఎ మ్యాన్ అండ్ సంబడి ఎల్స్, ఎ ఉమన్ టు హోమ్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ మ్యారీడ్. దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ పరకీయ భావ, మిస్ట్రెస్ భావ. రాధ రిప్రజెంట్స్ నాట్ ది ఇన్ఫీరియర్ సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ కీపింగ్ ఎ మిస్ట్రెస్, బికాస్ కీపింగ్ ఎ మిస్ట్రెస్ ఈజ్ నథింగ్ బట్ ప్యూర్ డిస్ట్రెస్ ఫ్రమ్ ది బిగినింగ్ టు ది ఎండ్. హియర్ మిస్ట్రెస్ మీన్స్ ట్రెమండస్ అట్రాక్షన్. దట్ ఉమన్ లవ్స్ ఓన్లీ దిస్ పర్సన్ అండ్ ఇన్ ది స్ట్రాంగెస్ట్ టర్మ్స్, అండ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ సెపరేషన్ హర్ లాంగింగ్ ఫర్ హిమ్ 24. శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ డిస్క్రైబ్స్, హియర్ ఈజ్ ఎ ఉమన్ హూ హెజ్ ఎ లవర్, షీ ఈస్ సర్వింగ్ హర్ హస్బెండ్, బట్ హర్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఆల్వేస్ ఆన్ ది హర్ బిలవ్డ్ ఓన్లీ, ది నైబర్ ఓన్లీ. దట్ ఈస్ ది ఫీలింగ్ విత్ విచ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు హ్యాడ్ క్రియేటెడ్ దిస్ పరకీయ భావ, స్ట్రాంగ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లవ్ బిట్వీన్ ది డివోటీ అండ్ గాడ్. అండ్ లేటర్ ఆన్ డిజనరేషన్ హ్యాడ్ టేకెన్ ప్లేస్, వీ నీడ్ నాట్ గో ఇన్ టు దట్ ఎట్ ఆల్. సో దీస్ ఆర్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ ది అగైన్ రిలేషన్షిప్స్ బట్ దట్ వీఆర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్. దిస్ ఈస్ రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ది డివోటీ అండ్ గాడ్. దెన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ రిలేషన్షిప్ ఈస్ బిట్వీన్ ది డిసైపుల్ అండ్ ది గురు. ఐ హ్యావ్ ఏ గురు, వాట్ ఈస్ మై రిలేషన్షిప్? డూ ఐ రివియర్ హిమ్ యాజ్ బ్రహ్మ విష్ణు మహేశ్వర, ఆర్ యాన్యువల్లీ ఐ జస్ట్ పే ఎ లిటిల్ బిట్ ఆఫ్ ఫీస్ అండ్ దెన్ ఆర్ ఎ లిటిల్ బిట్ ఆఫ్ ప్రణామీ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ఇట్? వాట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూ రిలేషన్షిప్? దట్ మై గురు హ్యాస్ కమ్ టు మీ టు రెస్క్యూ మీ ఫ్రమ్ ది సంసార సాగర. సో ఐ ఓ ఎవ్రీథింగ్, మై తను ధన మన ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఐ ఆఫర్ టు హిమ్, అండ్ హీ హ్యాడ్ కైండ్లీ గ్రాంటెడ్ మీ ఇష్టమంత్ర, అండ్ ఐ విల్ గో ఆన్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ విత్ కంప్లీట్ శ్రద్ధ ఇన్ ది మంత్ర దట్ హీ హెస్ గివెన్ ప్లస్ ది ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ హీ హెస్ గివెన్ అంటిల్ ఐ రియలైజ్ గాడ్. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ ట్రూ గురుదక్షిణ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ హ్యాపెన్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ ది రియలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. దెన్ ది గురు విల్ బి సాటిస్ఫైడ్, ఐ డు నాట్ నీడ్ టు థింక్ అబౌట్ మై చైల్డ్, హీఈస్ ఆల్రెడీ ఫ్రీ, ఐ కెన్ పే మై అటెన్షన్ టు somebody else. Question always, is it a family guru relationship, is it a spiritual aspirant and god relationship, or is it merely an academic relationship? And it is a very serious question, because most of the initiated people have this kind of relationship. Anyway, I will narrate a funny story. Swami Bhuteshanji Maharaj had initiated I think lakhs of people. So one day an old woman, of course it's just fun, she happened to come to see him with her granddaughter. Then Bhuteshanji Maharaj understood the whole situation at one glance. He was very, very intelligent. He asked, what brings you? He says, my granddaughter needs to get initiated, so I have brought her to you. And Maharaj asked, have you become initiated? Yes, yes, I have become initiated. And what is the name of your guru? And in Bengali she was Atoshato Janina. I don't remember all those things. Maharaj was questioning, do you remember his face? So she stared into his face for some time and said, Anekta apnar mukher motanach. It's a great extent, my initiated guru's face looks like yours. So this kind of relationship is called family guru relationship. But the true relationship is like every direct disciple. And of all the, every disciple of Sri Ramakrishna was great, but there was one disciple called Adbhutanandaji, Latu Maharaj at that time, Latu. One day he came to Dakshineswar while Sri Ramakrishna was away at Kamarpukur. He had the faith that Sri Ramakrishna is everywhere, even though Ramlal Dada, the nephew of Sri Ramakrishna, tried to explain to him, Sri Ramakrishna is not here, you cannot see him, he is in Kamarpukur. And Latu Maharaj stubbornly refused to listen to him and refused to eat any food, went on standing at Panchavati. And in the afternoon when Ramlal Dada went there, he saw Latu Maharaj bowing down to one particular spot again and again. And when he noticed Ramlal Dada, he burst out and said, why did you say Ramakrishna is not here? He is here, right here. I saw him just now. And Ramlal Dada did not know what to speak. This is that complete faith in the guru. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes the guru may not deserve this kind of adoration, sometimes down right there, commercial, like Dronacharya refusing Ekalavya. But Ekalavya said, I have chosen you as my guru. And he became, without being taught, but being taught by God in the form of Guru Bhakti, he excelled in archery, even Arjuna. So one has to question, what is my relationship to my guru? Is it just family guruship? He initiated me. Occasionally, I will give him some money as pranami, and that is it. And I repeat the name he has given a few times. And sadly, many people's relationship is only like that. Then comes the third relationship, most important relationship. What is my relationship with myself? How do I look upon my body? As ugly, I am inferior mentally, and I do not have qualities. Everybody's life is very happy. My life alone is most unhappy. Why God has created me like this? Sri Ramakrishna never encouraged this kind of negativity at all. Say, simply say, and especially Holy Mother's teaching. Remember, you have a mother and I am your mother. First commandment. Second commandment is, remember that you are my child and live with that knowledge that you are my child. You are not an ordinary person. You are the child of the Divine Mother. Which is echoing the first mantra in the Isavasya Upanishad. Tena tyaktena bhunjetha magritaha kasyasvidhanam. Tena, by that knowledge. What is that knowledge? Everywhere that Paramatma alone is there and nothing, no other thing is there besides him. With this knowledge, enjoy bhunjetha. You live joyfully your allotted period of time. Even if dukkha comes, suffering comes, difficulties come, consider them as misery is a gift of God and live joyfully. My parent is God. What have I got to worry about it? That's what Sri Ramakrishna meant when he said, have the attitude of a kitten, not that of a young one, of a monkey. These are the four things. I know that you all listen very, very intently, but just to make points clear. Relationship between the waker, dreamer and sleeper, relationship between the living and non-living, and both influence each other, relationship between all the living beings, and relationship with God and Guru, and especially oneself. Every spiritual aspirant needs to look into his own self and find out what type of relationship he or she has in all these four categories. Failure to do so is spiritual suicide. Now, Shankaracharya simplifies and classifies all the possible relationships into certain categories. They are Karya Karana, Swaswami Sambandha, Shishya Acharya, Pitru Putradi, Jagrat Swapna Sushupti. We have discussed these points as an introduction to this. Only I am going to go through very quickly. Once you have understood the introduction, it is very, very easy for us to understand. We can reclassify all these relationships into six categories again. Waker, dreamer and sleeper. And second, possessor or possessed. Possessor and possessed. Most of us are living in this second category called possessor and possessed. That is to say, I have a body, I have a mind, I have a house, I have a family, I have property, I have a job, I have a religion, I have society, I have God, I have got a guru. All these called possessor, possessed. If anybody says that I have a God, that is the worst relationship anybody can have. Anybody says I have a guru, that is also one of the worst relationships. These possessor, possessed relationships can be again subdivided into cause and effect. This is what Shankaracharya have done. Time, space, causality, master and servant, Swaswami Sambandhataha. What is the first one? Karana Karya. Karya Karanataya, he said, because of the Chandas, Karana Karyata Sambandha, cause and effect. Second is master and servant, superior or inferior. Third is Shishya Acharya. Again, because of the Chandas, first comes, should come the teacher, teacher and the taught, or the student and the master. Fourth, father, mother, etc. And all family relationships including neighboring countries, friends, enemies, etc., etc. With this introduction, let us analyze the 8th verse in this Dakshinamurti Stotram. What is this verse? Vishwam Pashyati Karya Karanataya Swaswami Sambandhataha Shishya Acharyataya Tathaiva Pitru Putra Dhyatmana Bhedataha Swapne Jagrativa Yah Eshah Purushah Maya Paribhramitaha Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Sri Dakshinamurtaye. He who is the Paramatma or Purusha, whirling or whirled by the power of Maya, sees the world in terms of cause and effect, diversely related as possessor and possession, father and son, teacher and taught, both in the states of waking and dreaming, that means in brackets, not in the deep sleep state. To him who removes that Maya and awakens us to that one reality where all the differences completely disappear, to that divine teacher, Sri Dakshinamurti, is this prostration. Vishwam Pashyati. Each one of us, both in the waking as well as dream, not in the deep sleep state, Sushupti state, because that is a kind of Advaita, I said, where there is one, there is no relationship. The person sees the world and experiences it how Bhedataha Pashyati. He sees as different. Everything is different, including when we say that I am seeing 1 minute, my eyes are seeing another minute, another, I am having pain and my teeth are aching and I am not well, my stomach is not well. We are using two types of sentences and they itself predicts if I is the head, then always I should say I am aching. But what do we say? My head is aching, my teeth are paining, my stomach is upset, my legs are having romantic pains, etc., etc. So all this clearly shows, language shows crystal clearly that this of, I have, possessor, possessed relationship. We have to analyze them and say, I am not the body, I am not the mind, but I have a body, I have a mind, so I must discriminate and say what happens to all these, what I have cannot affect me. Just as suppose your house is damaged, it doesn't damage you, excepting you mentally, you think that I am damaged. Your car is damaged, met an accident and it is written off. The car is gone, but you are perfectly all right. But we think I am gone. I am unhappy. The car never, fortunately, the car doesn't have a head. That's why it doesn't have a headache. It doesn't have a mind. Therefore, it doesn't feel happy or unhappy. So, we have to learn all these lessons from a buffalo. All the politicians are great teachers in what is called completely disregarding other people's criticisms. And billions of buckets of dirt is poured over the heads of every politician and next moment, he simply whips up the whole thing and like a dog, simply it moves its body and everything goes up. And then he doesn't even think about it. If somebody tells you something in a negative way, for 1500 days, you are only thinking about what had happened. Every politician is a samadarshi. You give me vote and that's all you are worth. And I look upon you as a voting animal. And as nothing else. This is called Samadarshitva. We have to learn. What am I talking about? That I am not affected whatever happens because I am not the body, I am not the mind. But what do we say? We experience the world only in differentiations. And that we should reduce slowly. And what we experience is not even true. For that an example is every day the sun is rising in the east and setting in the west. Sun is rising at 5 o'clock and then at 7 o'clock it is setting in the west. Go to the sun and say, why are you rising at 5 o'clock? Why can't you rise at 7:30? Damn you, because I want to get sleep. When you wake up, everybody wakes up and they disturb my sleep. And if you get up 2 hours late, I can sleep 2 hours more. And the sun will be surprised and said, what is waking up? What is rising? What is setting? Is there anything called setting or rising for the sun? And this is what we see with our eyes every single day. Remember, vyavaharika, phenomenal, it is very useful. But the truth is, what we see is not right. So you say, this is my body. That's not right. If it is your body, then it should be always with you. What is the definition of I? Whatever is mine will be with me always, forever. And whatever is not mine will always be away from me, and it will changing all the time. Is this body there previous birth? Will it be there in the next birth? At least will it be there in this birth? It is changing every millisecond. So, divisham pashyati, and this is called karya karanataya. What is it? I have been created by my parents, and you are not created by your parents. But then who created me? This is the subject we will discuss tomorrow morning in our Dakshinamurti class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayoho Sritva Pranamami Mohur Moho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti.